You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're going to have to get Mason's thoughts on the Olympics.
Yeah.
His thoughts on that. So far, this is what we have for Mason when he comes in. I'm kind of excited here because sometimes
Get my list out. Go ahead.
We have the
Olympic sex.
Olympic sex. We have Clearman's Gallery coming up on Thursday.
Yep.
And if he's going to do his thing, because we said there's a couple of things that
we
remember.
Did we go last? I don't remember going.
We didn't go last year, but the year before. When he went hard to the hoop.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the third thing was he the most excited that it didn't happen?
That's either me or Ireland.
I think it was me.
It's got to be Mace.
Just because I was in pain. If not, it would be different.
Trudell, who is on our TV here, I talked to him a little bit. He was ready to go.
Oh, no. Yeah. Trudell was. I think Trudell went back every hour up until the Lakers-Pacers game yesterday.
Yeah. He walks in. He's all fit. He's all Trudell-y. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, let's go. I'm like, you've been working? He goes, yeah, I've been getting ready for this. I'm ready to play.
He had one of those, levels. Just making sure every court was at level.
Yeah, we would have been there a while with those squeegees. It was pretty wet on Saturday. If one person asked me about Ohtani and Ipe, then 100 people did. It seemed like it was the topic of conversation when we weren't talking about whether or not it was going to stop raining. So we know what we know last week, that the story breaks. Ipe says, Shohei and I, we're in this together, in the sense that Shohei knew that Ipe was gambling, paid his gambling debt.
He's a good friend.
He's a good friend.
Helping me.
Then in the space of less than a day, they doubled back to Shohei didn't know what was going on, and Shohei's team accused Ipe of stealing
massive
the money.
Theft.
Massive theft was the quote. To now, Ohtani's going to address the media today. He's not going to take questions, but Cody, was it 2:30 that he's
2:45.
Playing? 2:45. Okay, so he's going to talk about 2 hours and 45 minutes from right now. I don't really expect him to say much other than I was duped, tricked, exploited, taken advantage of, somebody that I trusted, stole from me. Okay. I think of all the things that we've talked about, first of all, that $4.5 million is missing and no one's in jail is a little surprising to me, but put that aside for a second.
I think the cutoff is six.
My goodness,
is when you go to jail.
It's crazy. Ipe did not go to UC Riverside. We thought that he did, or at least according to the university itself, UC Riverside said, we never had somebody named Ipe Mizuhara attend school here. Okay, and when asked if there was another name he might have attended on, they did not answer the question. So under the name Ipe Mizuhara, he did not attend school there. Ipe never worked for the Red Sox, despite the fact that he was allegedly a translator for a Japanese pitcher, last name Okajima. The Red Sox are like, hey, look, we've looked. He never worked for us. He said that he did. He and Ohtani became tight when Ipe went. Ipe was born in Japan, was reared here in Southern California, went to Diamond Bar High School. I saw his soccer coach quoted in a piece. It's like, that's where we're going. Mm-hmm. Went to Japan to serve as an interpreter for English-speaking players in the Japanese league, so he could translate that way. That's where he and Ohtani struck up a relationship. And then when they came back, when Ohtani came to the United States, that's when Ipe and Ohtani became like a pair, right? That you get one, you get the other. No one decided to kind of say, hey, we got Shohei. We're going to bring this other guy along with him. He's his interpreter. He's his buddy. Can we just make sure that everything's cool here? I get it. Shohei wants him. We're going to bring him in. That's Shohei's guy. We get it. But don't you at least say, hey, can we just double check? For nothing else, Al, make sure he doesn't have a criminal record. Make sure there's not something weird going on. Because if you would have kicked the tires just a little bit, maybe say, you know, he didn't go where he said he went to school. You know, called the Red Sox. They never even heard of this guy. What's going on here? To then you can go to Otani and say, hey, listen, I know he's your guy, and I'm not saying, I just want you to know that we've been poking around. There's some inconsistencies here. We just want to see if you can clear this up. At least that puts a little bit of a thought in Otani's brain about what this Ipe guy's up to, because this is a weird story that he's just telling tales and nobody caught on to it until $4.5 million went missing.
To be honest with you, the more the stories come out, the less I'm actually surprised. The less I'm surprised nobody did any background.
Really?
What?
I am. I'll tell you why. It's Shohei Ohtani. That's all everybody's blinded by. They don't care about anything. What do I care about his interpreter? What do I care if he went to Riverside or not? Like, why am I going to go? If you're the Los Angeles Dodgers and they're trying to get
Shohei
Ohtani.
You don't care
Ohtani,
if he went to school or not, Slee, but you care if he's lying or not.
Well, I guess the point that I'm making is if that's who Shohei wants, all I care about is Shohei. That's it. I don't care about anything else. And if the Dodgers, who were in this, I don't know how close it got, maybe it really was down to them and Toronto, whatever the case is.
Could be.
All they freaking care about is Shohei Ohtani coming. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. I'm not saying that they didn't do it. The smarter thing would be to do your due diligence. What I'm saying is that when you have a figure that's as powerful as Shohei Ohtani, and the Dodgers, don't tell me, are not getting blinded by the money and the sponsorships and the, oh my gosh, we now own Asia as well. Like, there are a lot of reasons to get blinded by Shohei Ohtani.
Okay.
True.
I'm less and less surprised that none of that stuff was done as a background.
Okay. It's a good explanation, and you're probably right. Let's go to Ohtani for a second. Ohtani meets this guy, becomes very close with him to the point where he's not just his translator, but he becomes one of his closest friends, his personal aide that he does errands for him. They spend basically every waking moment together. He spends more time with Ipe than he does any of his Angels teammates, right? He spends more time with Ipe than he probably did his girlfriend, current wife, because we never even saw the two of them together in a picture. You couldn't see Ohtani without Ipe in the background somewhere. You're getting so close to him, and you're giving him your bank account information? Because we were talking about this morning, right? Mm-hmm. To steal that amount of money, to go through his mail, to get his bank accounts, to find his pins, to however to do that, I think would be very, very challenging. There are exactly three people on earth that could call me and say, Trav, I need your bank account and routing number, and I would give it to him.
Can I guess them?
Sure.
Me and Funches are one and two.
Sure.
Laura's third.
Sure. My mom, my dad, my wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. Those are the three people. Hey, Trav, I got to transfer some. Can you give me your number? And put it this way. There's no one on earth other than Susan that I trust more than my parents. If my dad called me and said, hey, Trav, I need to move some money around. Can you shoot me your bank account? I'd be like, yeah. What's going on?
Why?
Yeah, wait.
Yeah,
what?
You asked the why.
What?
Yeah.
Well, it's this, that, and the other. Okay. I mean, I would give it to him. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it.
But doesn't that just make, like, the way you explain it, right? The way I was talking about a little bit earlier, I was saying that if you go buy something over $1,000, go try to do it. Go anywhere you want. The steps that happens in order for you to actually purchase that, the confirmations that you're going to get from your bank, whatever the case is, say, look, this is part of fraud. This is how fraud happens. We just want to make sure that you're good. Mm-hmm. That's a grand while I'm in the Apple store with my ID, with my credit card, and someone staring at me, let alone $4.5 million or $500,000 transactions. But I think everything that you just explained of, then that just gives you more and more doubt to the story anything else.
That's right.
And I don't think we're going to learn anything from Shohei today.
Which story, Slee? Because there's two stories. The one that it was stolen or the one where he helped him do it?
The one that he helped him do it sounds like that could be a real story. The one that it was $4.5 million was stolen from one of the most powerful entities in sports. Literally one of the most powerful. Think about the people that are around Shohei Ohtani. Like, you're not double and triple checking everything that you do from that perspective. Just because he's worth so much money that there are people that are watching the finances. Does he not have a financial advisor? Is CAA not involved to a certain extent where they're like, hey, just, you know, we're going to help you make sure that I'm sure that's not something that Shohei needs to do. There's one person that's watching all that.
You hire two different people with money. I've heard a lot of people say this, right? When you have money like Shohei or money, hundreds of millions,
right.
You have two different people handling your money. You tell each of them that the other guy's a crook and you think they're stealing from you. So they're
so
checking
then they
on
double
each other,
and triple
right?
Check
they're looking. Everything. They're trying to catch the other guy in a thing, and they both come back and say, "It looks good to me. It's probably okay." Right?
I don't know.
That this thing stinks because we talked about this too, right, Al? If you came to me and said, "Trav, listen, man, I made a couple of really bad mistakes. I'm in hot water. Can you loan me $1,000?" I would say, "Sure, Slee. Yeah, here you go. Let's go to the bank. I'll get the money. Yeah, I got you. Pay me back when you can. Yeah. No worries. Take
what happened.
Get
I had Middleton with 18 points.
Honestly, but let's play around with this because I honestly wouldn't ask you if you just came to me and said, "Hey, what's going on?" I say, "Yeah, I can help you." You come back to me 2 weeks later, Trav. I'm still in a bad way. I can't pay you back. In fact, I need more. I'd probably help you a second time, and then we're done. Because after that, I'm like, dude, what's going on? I can't do this. $4.5 million? And I understand the economics are different, but the philosophy isn't different. So maybe my line's $1,000 twice. Maybe somebody else's is $50 twice. Maybe Shohei's is $1 million twice. $4.5 million?
But this is what people don't understand.
It doesn't add up.
This is what people don't understand. When I hear people say, "What's $4.5 million to Shohei Ohtani?" It's not about Shohei Ohtani. It's about where his money is. That if somebody wanted to pull $100,000 out of somebody that's worth $30 billion, questions still come up. Like that's not uncommon. Those amounts that you're talking about, it doesn't matter what the guy's net worth is.
No,
it matters what bank it's with and where the money's being wired from, where it's being transferred from, and everything else.
I'm really curious what he's going to say in about 2.5 hours from right now, because my guess is it's going to be, you know what we should do? We should see how much of this is exactly right. It's going to be, "Thank you for being here. I wanted to clear this up to the best of my ability. Mm-hmm. Understand that I can only say so much because there's a pending investigation taking place, and I want to make sure that I respect that. That being said, I am the victim of trusting someone I shouldn't have trusted. I am a victim of a massive theft to the tune of $4.5 million that was used to cover gambling debts that I had no idea of. I trusted Ipe Mizuhara like a brother, and he took advantage of that trust and stole from me. Have a nice day. I can't take any questions." That's going
to
be the
Yamamoto's move to third.
Yeah, right. Right.
On the starting
demoted.
He would love a Yamamoto question. Hey, do you think Yamamoto's throwing his fastball up in the zone too much? Guys, sit down. Let's talk about this. You know, let me tell you, I've been telling him he's pitching to the center field. That he would love to talk baseball.
Yeah,
people aren't going to be asking him a baseball question for a minute or two.
No.
What else are we? What else is he going to say today?
I think if anybody's thinking that something's coming out that's of substance, probably don't tune in at 2:45. It's just not going to happen. That's not how these things work. They just don't. I mean, the less you say is...
Are we looking for body language? Are we looking for averting, you know, darting eyes back and forth? Like, what are we looking for? Because he's not going to say, we're not going to get that.
Does he say,
interpreting him?
If I look at it, let's look at it from a Dodger fan perspective. What do you think a Dodger fan wants to hear today? Do they just want to hear something as simple as, "I apologize that this has become a distraction.
Could I embarrass the team?"
Yeah, I apologize that this is what we're talking about a couple days before
you know what?
The start of this.
He will apologize to his teammates. That's a good point.
Something like that is, again, you could dance around things without saying anything.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like something like this
Dodger
is set up for.
To go back to your original premise, and I think it's interesting, like, what do Dodger fans want to hear about this? I don't think Dodger fans care about any of this until we start playing on Thursday.
Yeah, if you win, who cares?
There's a lot of different things, right? Dodgers win and he plays great. We all shrug our shoulders and wait for the next thing to come out.
Sure.
Right? Dodgers lose and he plays great. It's like, you know, he's doing what he's supposed to do. I think it's kind of the same thing. Dodgers win and he plays bad. It's like, I wonder how much is weighing on his mind.
Sure.
Dodgers lose and he plays bad.
Or play 500 baseball, because right. I think lose is not the right.
These are all relative.
Play 500 and he's not playing well.
They play below expectations and he's below it. It's, he's consumed by it. The team's consumed by it. But we're going to have to get 15 or 20 games under our belt before we can start doing this. Right? And that's all Dodger fans care about. I'm interested in the story because I love stories.
I know.
I'm interested in it because I'm a Dodger fan. Mm-hmm. But if he goes out there and he's Ohtani and he's hitting two or three home runs a week and he's doing what he does and the Dodgers are winning two out of every three games, we're just waiting.
Well, if it's not a distraction to him, right. You know, like there'll be a little bit of that.
And then, you know, Ipe will commit, will plead guilty or not guilty, or they'll do a plea or whatever. Yeah. Like we'll have little pieces of it here and there, but it only really starts to pick up like terminal velocity if he's bad or he's bad and the team's bad. Then it's a five alarm fire. Until then,
Muncy and Lux are high-fiving themselves right now. Like, look, nobody's talking about us.
Well, let's talk about Yamamoto. He's been demoted already, kind of. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. And, how about this? If you're caller 7 right now at 877-710 ESPN, you're going to win a pair of tickets to Fight Club OC, an amazing night of fights happening Thursday, April 4th at the Hangar in Costa Mesa. Plus, you'll qualify to win the Tequila Mandala Fight Night Experience, which includes ringside tickets, Mandala bottle service, and more. Caller number 7 right now wins, and you can get your tickets to Fight Club OC at SoCalFights.com. Use the promo code ESPNLA for $15 off. Caller number 7 right now, 877-710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Congratulations to James Gillespie from Fontana. He is our winner for Fight Club OC. He was caller number 7. You're going to want to listen to our show, to Mason in Ireland, for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see some good fights. April 4th at the Hangar in Costa Mesa. It's Fight Club OC. So congratulations to you, James. And if you did not win, keep listening, and there will be more chances.
Good work, James.
Right? You ever won anything,
there, buddy.
What's that? You ever won anything? Like a prize, a lotto ticket.
I think if I ever called when I was a kid, not even a kid, but like a teenager, I never called in. I never tried to.
Really? Never?
Ever won a raffle or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've won. I've won raffles. I've won. Back in the day, my mom would force us to go to bingo at church. I slayed some bingo games.
Yeah, what'd you get?
What, do we get a toaster or something like that?
Okay,
I
mean,
like,
that counts.
Like everybody.
That mom counts. Toaster.
Yeah, toaster counts.
Lori, you have any luck?
Okay, so I was that person when I was little. Like, I would call Kiss FM or Power 106 or 1-800.3 The Beat. I'm dating myself right now. To see if I could get concert tickets. And I always thought, this bleep is not real.
Yeah.
Like, they're hooking up a friend. They're hooking somebody up. Until you start working in the business, you're like, oh, crap, you do have to pick 102 callers. Oh, crap, you do have to do whatever that number is legally to do that. So I've never won anything from a radio. Actually, I'm lying.
Uh-oh.
What'd you win?
I won. So this is a station.
What'd you win from 710 ESPN?
Nothing. So I actually won something from, back in the day, it was Latino 96.3. Now it's a different name, right? But you would call in and you could be the person to go on air for an hour. You would take over
show
for an hour. That's actually how I was.
That's
like,
a great prize.
So I did that with Sandra Pena, shout out. And that was my first time I was ever on LA radio. So that was pretty
and
cool.
And look at you now.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Cody, you and Chuck ever win anything?
Chuck!
That's how he won Chuck. He won Chuck
at a
Pet Smart promotion.
I've never won anything. Chuck, I reward Chuck every day with food, so he wins every day.
He wins every day.
Chuck
he wins
the Python. Every
day. Chuck the Python always being real good. I don't think I've ever won it.
I haven't either.
Maybe like
never.
No.
You know what?
Part of it is I almost never enter.
Actively, yeah. You're not
so that's a big part of it. You know who wins all the time? My oldest son, Bobby. Like, wow. If there's a raffle, he's going to win.
Really?
Yeah, it's uncanny.
Have you ever won anything on accident? Like, you didn't even know that. That happened to me.
So this does happen occasionally, and it hasn't happened because cell phones have kind of changed it a little bit. But back in the day where you had a real phone in your house,
yeah,
and you would actually answer the phone when it would ring at night.
Hi.
And they're like, hey, you just won a trip to, I'm like, this is, click. Like, I didn't even let him get into it. Like, yeah, no, I know I didn't win a trip to the Bahamas. So what do you want?
One time I was probably in seventh or eighth grade. I got a piece of mail that came in under my name.
Okay.
Okay. I'm like, why am I getting mail at seventh or eighth grade? And it was the publishing clearinghouse. What is that? You know,
yeah.
Okay.
Ed McMahon.
Whatever that was, right? And it said basically I had won millions of dollars.
What'd you do with it?
Okay. Bro, I was so gullible. I was like, I remember sitting outside my house. We had a little patio area. And I'm like, my mom comes home, I'm gonna show her that we did it. You know, I remember showing it to her, and she's like, "That's awesome,
mental.
That's awesome. I appreciate it, but just know that I still got to do the daycare, and you still got to go to school. So nobody won anything."
Yeah, where's the guy with the big check on my front door?
Why are they sending it to me in seventh or eighth grade?
If your name is, if you have a social security number, you get that mail.
Bastards.
Right? It starts showing up right away. Like Ron Swanson's kid in Parks and Rec. He was a baby. He started getting stuff.
That's I didn't know I was still better about involved. That.
I didn't either. Yamamoto pitched game two in Korea. Bad.
Yeah, his first official regular season start.
One inning, five runs, and it was ugly.
40-plus pitches, something like 40
that? 40-plus pitches. Struck out a couple, walked a guy, hit a guy. Just it was a disaster. He pitched really poorly. On the heels of not pitching particularly well in spring training. New baseball, new league, new strike zone, new hitters,
cool.
Dipping pitches.
Give him a second.
Lots of stuff going on. Dodgers open their regular season. Glasnow, who pitched game one in Korea, will pitch game one here in the States against the Cardinals. Game two, Yamamoto pitched in Korea. Game two, Bobby Miller's going to pitch.
Yeah.
Yamamoto will pitch game three. Something? Nothing? A little bit of something?
So the way they justified it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it will give him an extra day rest,
mm-hmm,
because there's an off day,
mm-hmm,
and then he can pitch in his normal 5 days rest. That's what the way they justified it. I don't believe any of it. I just don't. I don't, because why are you going to pitch Yamamoto second? And then it's, guys, we're not worried about innings already. You're not worried about,
especially him. He pitched one inning,
and you're not. You're not worried about the rotation at this point. Basically, it's not a big deal, but I think that there's probably a little bit of a conversation internally saying, okay, let's be a little bit more cautious. Let's pay a little bit more attention to the details, because there's some ballers that are out there that you just say, here's the ball, go do your thing, and they go out there and they do their thing. And you know, Los Angeles has seen plenty of them, so we don't have to sit here and list them. But Walker Buehler before his injuries, Clayton Kershaw, go down the list. You don't need to pick and choose. You don't need to be a little bit more strategic on this stuff. Are they already trying to protect Yamamoto two starts in?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Here's what I know for sure.
What if he killed it in his first start?
And they moved him?
If he pitched five innings, 100 pitches he threw, I'm just throwing out whatever, and he gave up a run or two, is he starting again second?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just know that he's not starting second this time through. Right? Why? You can come up with a million things. Here's what I know for sure about the Dodgers through two games. They've won one, they've lost one. Mookie's hot, and everything else has been, what the hell's going on around here?
Yeah.
Because the Ohtani thing exploded while they were over there.
That's in itself, yep.
Right? They came back over here. Yamamoto got pounded.
Mm-hmm. Muncy had a couple errors.
The rest of it is, yeah, I don't know. We haven't even seen anybody else really pitch, right? We haven't seen Miller. We haven't seen Paxton. No. We haven't seen any of these other guys that are going to round out the rotation. Mm-hmm. Grove. It's just like, okay, I don't know. It's like, and now you're seeing headlines. Well, the Dodgers have had, you know, there's Julio Urias and Trevor Bauer, and now Shohei Ohtani. It's like, whoa. Everybody, slow down. Like, don't put him in that group yet. You know, let's see what happens. He hasn't missed a turn or any of these things. It's gotten off to a really bizarre start. They played two games, but it hasn't been, hey, they won 9-1 and they won, you know, 4-2, and they look great.
I would have told you if nothing even came out with Shohei, nothing. A lot came out with Shohei, right? We're in the middle of this. But even if nothing came out on Shohei, I think we were already kind of already setting the tone of like, damn, this, if you thought this squad was under a microscope, every single thing that happened, how big of a spring training news was it of what to do with Lux? How big was that? Like, that was actually a big topic and a big story, and we were all talking about all this stuff. Now you got the Shohei stuff. This just kind of shows how front and center the franchise is and how really the only thing to quiet things down is win.
Go play and play really well.
Yeah.
Win a bunch of games and hope that he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And hope that Ipe sticks to the story and that that is the story and that there isn't another shoe that drops. Because it's gonna be a very long time until I'm certain another shoe isn't going
to
drop.
What did they say? He went to Diamond Bar?
Uh-huh.
Diamond Bar High School? I'm going to check on that this afternoon.
Well,
go.
They already have. Mostly. They talked to his soccer coach. You.
That soccer coach is a plant. I don't believe any of this.
This is the whole point, that nobody's going to believe anything about this for months. Months.
They asked the soccer coach, what position he plays? He said, power forward.
I'm telling you, this. And if it were anybody else, yeah, we'd be like, eh.
Yep.
But Shohei?
The thing is, too, and we were talking about this earlier during our show prep, is this could have been going on forever, but because he was an Angel, nobody cared. It's like, I told Trav, the moment you, because he was technically in Southern California, not LA, but you know, the Angels, nobody cares. It's not relevant. It's just whatever. You have the greatest player.
It's been part of it.
I will say this. You're saying, so explain to me, so that if the betting stuff came out when he was an Angel, you don't think it would be?
I don't think it would have been as big of a deal, A. And then
he's so big. Shohei is so big that I think it is.
I mean, it would have been a big deal, but not him as a Dodger magnifies things, everything times 100.
Here's the thing. I think I get that. I understand that. And I believe that for in certain circumstances, Shohei is so big. Like the Dodger part of it, I understand that. But if LeBron wasn't on the Lakers, LeBron is so big that his storyline in itself is so gigantic.
Okay, you're right. But you know how we were talking about when he was an Angel, I felt like you have the greatest player and still nobody's like really paying attention. It's just you have the greatest player there.
I don't know
if that makes sense.
The $700 million changes it a lot. The Dodgers changes it a lot. But I if Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, let's just put the facts as we know them. If Shohei Ohtani's interpreter used $4.5 million of Shohei Ohtani's dollars to cover a gambling debt, whether he was on the Angels or anyone else, it would have been the biggest story in baseball and one of the biggest stories
in
sports.
Yeah, yeah. In the world.
Because he's just, even though the Angels are not a good team, he's the only baseball player that is famous outside of baseball.
And it's a juicy story.
Yeah.
There's illegal activity going on, right? Like that. It's not just.
Apparently not. Ipe is probably playing golf today.
I mean he's not in jail.
Right. Ipe picked SDSU over UConn on Thursday.
Well, he gets I think 8.5. I think 8.5 is a lot.
Maybe he bought the hook. Maybe he got it in a tease with, I don't know, Creighton.
Single-handedly raised the line.
He's a translator.
But the thing is, I'm not saying that it wouldn't be a story, and that I wanted to make that clear. I'm just saying that
it's bigger because he's with the Dodgers.
It's bigger because he's big at the Dodgers, but also, how long has this been going on? Nobody betted this guy. There could have been so much prior. That, you know what I mean? Like that it now erupted.
I think we can come back and talk about this after we do Rose and Thorn too, because I think what you're saying, Slee, that everybody was so, just get him in. the Angels, right when they got to sign him the first time. Just get him. Hey,
we'll
he wants to bring this interpreter with him. Fine. Just great. Bring him in.
Yeah,
bring
where's the background check, bro?
Right? The Dodgers and the Blue Jays and the Giants and the Yankees and everybody else that was bidding on him. Hey, Ipe's a part of this. Yeah, fine, whatever. Just bring him in.
I guarantee that question never came up.
No. No. But now everybody is going to be asking everything about that guy and Shohei for a very long time until we're sure, and I don't think we're ever going to be sure. Rosebud, Thornbush thing next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There was Rosebush, Rose Thorn.
Yeah, so it's Rosebud and Thorns for all the listeners out there. So Rosebud and Thorn, it's like an icebreaker activity where we talk about one positive thing and one negative thing that has happened to us in the last couple of days. Travis, okay. Do you have some?
Yeah, I've got, so this is stupid, and I'm sure
you've numbered 9 negative things.
It's funny, look, bro. It's just one. Look, grab one.
I did like 4 the other day.
I wish it weren't true. My default setting is negative. I'm pessimistic. I'm cynical. I am who I am. Right.
Own it, baby. Own it.
I honestly don't have a ton of negatives today. Tomorrow we'll be back to where it is. Here's my positive one. You know what I've discovered that I love doing, and I did it early in the day yesterday, and I'm like, this is, I don't even have to look at it anymore the rest of the day. Closing that stupid ring on your phone for your activity.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Solid.
When you see that thing go all the way around, you're like, yep, I'm done. I made a useful day. So that's my my rose, is getting the little circle closed on your phone or your iWatch or whatever it is. My thorn is a simple one today, too. Food-related, big surprise. Had to really have the bagels on the day when I was just trying to come out of my taco bender. Like, it's like that little thing.
You're
hungover, and then there's like, hey, free mimosas the next day. It's like,
yeah,
really? Now I have to have a mimosa? I really didn't even want one. So the bagels are my thorn for today.
Okay, my rose, this one's simple. I talked a little about it a little bit earlier. Aztec, San Diego State, moving on to the Sweet 16. Very excited about that. Very happy about that. They got a game coming up on Thursday against Connecticut. So there's my rose right there that the Aztecs are representing San Diego very well. That was my rose. Now my thorn bush. What'd you call it?
Thorn bush.
Thorn bush.
Thicket. Bramble.
Sounds like a race car driver.
Yeah, Dickie Thornbush. From the thorn bushes. They're from North Carolina. They ran Shine back in the 1930s.
All right, this thorn is a very SoCal one. And it's such like, are you really going to complain about this?
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
Done with the rain?
Yeah, see?
We good?
We need it.
Are we good?
We could use it.
Are we good?
Wash
yesterday,
our car.
I still like it.
By the way, I'm usually a fan of it too.
Like it.
Usually a fan too. This is the only time that I was, had yesterday, and I wanted to go outside, go for a walk, do this. Just kind of, I wanted to be outdoor. I was still going to eventually work my way back to crypto. I was going to do pregame, whatever the case is. So looking outside, I'm like, was it night? It's like 2:30. It was as dark and as gray as can be. The rain was coming in. I'm a rain guy, but
do you have a jacket that's water repellent?
I do. It's a little bit different with a dog. Like if I'm going for
so leave
a
the
long,
dog at home.
No, I got to take.
Here
Rook
we go again.
No, Rook's got to come.
Why?
Yeah.
First every off, time, 100% of the time?
Well, first off, they need walks.
Like, I understand
he's
that.
He's bored as hell sitting
and
inside.
He's a retriever, so he's active. Yeah.
And if I'm like, if I'm walking by the condo and Rookie's seeing me in the balcony, like, what the hell is going on?
He's
going
to walk back and forth
there?
In front of the front door? Walk away.
Weather? A little bit of my thorn right now. And I hate to say that because I like the rain too, but I feel like that.
Laura?
Nah, man. I hate the rain. Go away. Rain, go away. All right, my rose.
Hate it?
Yeah, it's not
okay. I'm with Trav on that. I like rain.
I love the
rain. I only like rain when I'm home and I don't got nothing to do. Okay, like I can.
Yeah,
just
that's
be,
a good time.
You know what I'm saying? But if
any
I
any day is fine.
Really? Anyways, my rose.
I like it when I'm outside for 3.5 hours, getting ready for pickleball, and nothing happens.
It's mist.
Just literally rain the whole time.
You know what? You're like that girl dancing by the DJ. You just wanted the rain.
Probably still there.
But, you know, you talked about pickleball, and that was my rose for the weekend, just getting to hang out with you guys and just enjoying, even though we didn't play and it did rain out.
Basically making the best of whatever.
You know what? That tailgate was on point.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. And then we went to Islands afterwards, so we had a good time. So that's my rose. My thorn was going to be the rain, but you took it, so I'm going to go with my ER visit. You know, going to the ER after having a good time was kind of my thorn. I was like, I don't want to be here.
Are you okay?
Feeling better?
I'm better now.
Okay. Can we tell the story of why you ended up there?
Okay. So I am going to go home and get medicated because I am in pain. But I'm like, you know what? I can't wait to get out.
Medicated or medicated?
No, actually. Okay. So I told this to Trav when we walked in. I was given some gummies.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Chris Ward.
What up?
And,
the guy's hooking us. I have enough for like a year and a half.
So, no, I've never taken.
I saw him on Manhattan. I saw him on Saturday. I'm like, all right, I'm enough.
You're good? See, yeah. I've never taken like gummies. And, this is my first time getting hooked up, right? He's like, take half. And I was like, oh, these are good. So I took the whole thing.
Yeah, they're not candy, Laura.
And I've
I was about to say,
you open them up like a Starburst.
Yeah.
I like the yellow one.
No, I took one gummy.
Oh, Lord, you just take one.
Yeah, if he said half, you should probably take half.
Yeah, because I don't do it. So he's like, you know, take half, girl. And then
she tried every flavor.
Like, no. I only took one full gummy, but that did it. So, but yeah, I ended up in the ER, so that was my Thor.
Green one looks good.
Yeah.
Not because of the gummy, by the way.
Right, because of your other stuff.
Yeah,
so mine's a quick, simple, easy one, both correlating with one another. So yesterday, finally got dinner with my dad in a while. It'd be the first time we had to sit down. We had to dinner. We talked a lot. We ate hot pot, so it was
awesome.
Super good.
Nice. That sounds
good
meal. Terrific.
But the thorn, so as soon as we got there.
I just real quick on the hot pot? Do you have enough patience where you don't burn yourself?
I need it piping hot. I need to burn my mouth.
Well, I'm with you on that, but I also have third-degree burns in like my lip and everything. I don't have the patience.
Absolutely.
And then it's like splatting everywhere. I got hit in the neck.
Me and my dad were getting impatient. We were getting impatient. It wasn't like getting hot enough.
That sounds like a lovely afternoon.
Yeah, so we had a nice little sit-down dinner. And then the thorn, though, so we got there. So basically how the restaurant works is like you order, you get your soup base. They ask you like what menu you want to order off of. And then they ask if you want a drink. And I was like, yeah. I was like, me and my dad, I was like, let's both get a drink. And then he got a beer, but I decided soda. I'm not a really big drinker. So I go to the soda machine.
Like stick with me, Cody. We're going to change that.
So I'll just do rum.
So went to the soda machine and then I was like, going to need something bubbly, kind of wash down all the oils and soup. So I was like, oh, let's get a ginger ale. I hadn't had a ginger ale in a while. Went back, drank the ginger ale, very watery. I was like, ugh. And I was like, go back to the soda machine, dump it. I'm like, you know what? Sprite it is. Get the Sprite, go back, drink it, watery. I'm like, what is happening? So I was like, okay, you know what? It's fine. Pepsi, can't go wrong. It was a Pepsi, can't go wrong. Go to the Pepsi, get it. It's watery.
When is the last time they serviced that soda machine at your hot pot restaurant?
So then also,
I know what they're doing. My mom used to do this. I told you when we were younger. All water after that. You got to save some money. We're trying to save some dollars here.
So I had no soda, so I just drank water, but we paid an extra $1.50 for it. But that's
go in there and demand your buck and a half back.
Yeah,
it's not cool, bro.
Is there anything better than a soda?
Exactly.
I don't drink soda.
Watery soda is just the worst.
I don't drink much of it anymore either.
Sparkling waters.
I drink
that
all day.
4 or 5 of those a day, every day. If Coca-Cola were a better choice, I would have 11 a day. I cannot
Coke
get
Zero.
Enough of it.
No, man.
I'll do Diet Coke over regular Coke. Oh,
no.
I can't.
After seeing them clean with the Coke, hell no.
I know. That's why I don't do it, but I'm saying it tastes amazing. No.
I need the McDonald's Coca-Cola.
McDonald's Coca-Cola is number two behind glass bottle Coca-Cola, then McDonald's Coke, then
the
McDonald's,
Mexico one?
Then Mexican glass bottle Coke, then can, then plastic individual bottle, and then last is giant 2-liter bottle.
It's like a power ranking.
I miss
right
Dr. Pepper.
That is exactly. Dr. Pepper's like Coca-Cola.
I missed it, Dr.
There's a reason
Pepper,
they've yeah sold 80 trillion cans of the stuff. It's not because it tastes bad. It's pretty darn good. The Dump coming up next is Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, so let's start with this one. Did you see where Deion Sanders said that he was going to try to Eli the draft with his sons next year, that Shadur and Shiloh are more than likely going to be in next year, the 2025 NFL draft? They're not in this one.
Yeah.
They would be in the next one, but that he has places where he would like them to be, and more specifically, places where he would not like them to be. He mentioned some cold weather, that's not something that he's interested in. Still a long way to go. We're not even on this year's draft. That's still about a month away or so. What about Deion trying to Eli Manning the draft?
It's interesting because it's Deion, right? This is still obviously a very, very powerful figure right now. I mean, think of college football those first couple of weeks this year. All we talked about was Deion Sanders, Colorado. A lot of the big shows, college football shows, were broadcast live out from there. I mean, sellout after sellout. What, the Rose Bowl, didn't they have I don't know if they had a sellout, but it was one of their most attended games.
Yeah.
UCLA versus
They pulled the
Colorado.
Tarps off.
They pulled the tarps off.
Yeah.
He's got power. He's got juice. However.
Yeah, there's a big however.
Listen, at the end of the day, if I'm a GM out there, and I represent a team that's in weather's a little cold, but I want your guy, I'm going to draft him. You know, like I that's the one thing I never really kind of truly understood.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Let me give an example. Caleb Williams. Remember there were some reports early on. It was like, yeah, I don't know. He may not want to play for Chicago, may not want mm-hmm. to play for the Bears. I remember you and I were having a conversation about this. What would you do if you're the general manager and you're running the Chicago Bears, and there's some rumors out there that Caleb Williams doesn't want to come play for your franchise?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'm drafting him. If I feel like that's the player, that's the guy, I'm going to take my chances. You're either going to come play for the Chicago Bears, or you're going to have to figure out what the hell you do moving forward.
5 years and hold your rights.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm drafting you.
Deion said, I know where I want them to go. So it's certain cities that ain't going to happen. It's going to be an Eli, which is pretty funny. Here, the rub is, if it's Caleb Williams or a, air quote, regular guy, right? Even if it's a super high draft pick. Deion adds an element to this, not unlike Archie Manning added an element to this when he was able to pull an Eli in the Chargers draft. Remember, Eli's holding up that Chargers jersey, like, you know, he just found out that his dog got run over.
Yeah.
He's just looking, and then 5 seconds later, they traded him to the Giants. They got it done. In large part because Archie knew how the NFL works. He knew he knew which levers to lean on, which ones not to, how I can use this, how I cannot use that. Deion knows those levers. Deion knows how to do that just as well as anybody else. And here's the thing I'll say about Deion. And I understand. I'm in the bag for Deion. I love Deion. I think Deion's incredibly interesting. I think he's compelling.
Sure.
I think he's really bright. I'm a Deion Sanders fan.
Yeah, he's a good, good marketing tool.
The other thing Deion is, he's not wrong very often. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he may be playing poker right now. He may be trying to set something up that we can't even see happening right now. But if Deion says it, more often than not, it becomes true. When Deion said he was going to go become a coach, everybody kind of went, Deion's a pretty good coach. Deion went to a Power 5 conference. Everybody's like, yeah, let's see what he does now. It was like, yeah, they got a lot better. Were they good? No, but they were a lot better than they were before he got there. Starts putting guys in. So if Deion sang it, I don't think it's going to go like that, but I'm not just going to flick it aside because I believe when Deion says something, I tend to believe him.
I would have loved, sorry, Alan, no, to pitch up. I would have loved for him to say, I know where they want to go.
Yeah.
Versus where I want them to go. Because for me, it's like, I don't have kids. Trav, you do. Don't you want what your kids want? Obviously, you're helping them out, but at the same time, like.
It's a great question, Laura. You know, because here's the thing. Maybe he just, you know, misspoke and used the wrong prepositions, right?
But, but it didn't come out like that. She's right about that.
You're right. But it's one of these things. Let's say that my kids wanted to get it. There are very few things I know a little bit about. Radio happens to be one of them. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, I'm going to go work for that guy. And I know that's the wrong place to go. Like, if you go there, it's not going to work. And there's, I might say, look, I know where you need to be. You need to be over here. Trust me on this one. You can kind of, as opposed to if they want to go get into the singing business, which I know nothing about. Right. It's like, yeah, knock yourself out. Go do what you want. Deion knows football. Deion knows organizations. Yeah. Deion knows that guy over there is a bozo. It won't work. That guy over there, he knows what he's doing. If we can get him over there, you got a really good chance for success. And his expertise may be taking over from the, I'm going to let my kids spread their own wings just because I know it can't happen over there.
That makes sense.
Let's just figure out a general manager who's in that position, who's in that spot. The Caleb Williams part of it, you knew he was going to be the number one pick. I wonder just where his kids are going to be slotted in the draft as well, where somebody that, let's say, I'm just using as an example. I have no idea where his kids will go. But let's say one of the kids is a top 15 player.
Shador's pretty good.
Okay, I know he's pretty good. Yeah. But is he going to be the number one overall pick? Probably not.
Who knows?
Do they have him that high that he's going to be the number one pick?
He put it to you this way. He's in the mix as of right now. He's got to play well and all these other things.
It's not a quarterback draft anyways next year. So he
slap it.
Like, yeah.
No, I think we're fixed.
No, it was good until just right there.
Yeah. I think it's not a like quarterback draft. So I feel like he might be the first quarterback taken, but I don't know if he's the first pick overall.
Clippers lost yesterday to the Philadelphia 76ers. They are 5-5 in their last 10. They have gone from being in the top seed in the Western Conference to the fourth seed in the Western Conference, 5.5 games out of the top spot.
And they may fall to number five.
I was going
to
say, they could be in number five quickly. The Pelicans just a half game behind them right there. And you can tell that the temperature's starting to get turned up because you listen to Ty Lue's comments. He's talking about, you know, we got to snap out of this. I don't know what the hell's going on. We got to find an identity. It just seemed that right when everybody – remember they just – blew the doors off the Celtics and everybody's
That was a road game, right?
Holy smoke. That was wild. Here we go again.
Do you guys believe in that curse? Like the Clippers curse? Like, I know people think that's not a thing, but it's like they're so good until they're not. And they should not be good.
If I told you, think of what franchises do you think have some type of a curse?
The Chargers.
No, I think that's one. I think the Chargers, I think the Clippers are one where you're just expecting something to go wrong.
Angels.
There's got to be a lot more. Angels, there's another one. That doesn't go away unless, and here's the difference between the Angels of what you said and add the Clippers and the Chargers championships together, Angels are still ahead. That they got one.
They do.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that almost takes away the curse portion of it. But when you said you believe in a curse, I believe in that won't go away until you win it all.
And it's like, look.
They haven't even got there.
I'm not someone to praise the Clippers. Everybody here knows that. But they do, you know, I've seen them play basketball because my boyfriend's a Clipper fan. And I'm like, damn, they do things that I'm like, you should be better. And then when they're unravel, I'm just like, whoa, what's happening, you know?
It's a very Clipper thing.
I mean, Harden.
It's energy. It's bad
Sixers
energy.
Plus 9.5 yesterday.
I did.
You and Ipe.
Yeah, me. Yeah. I'm bet with Ipe now. Yeah. He's got access to all my accounts.
Unbelievable. Oh,
no. Who's covering your bets?
I've got a trans. I don't make sense a lot, so I have my own translator.
Do you have a very, very wealthy best friend that covers all your actions?
Yes, he does.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, crazy.
Or if he won't do it, just steal it from him.
That'd be awesome.
Apparently, that's easy to do now.
Embezzle away.
Wow.
Let's do a little Supercross talk code. So, Let's start with this. One of the Ask-Lees earlier today was...
We have like eight topics for you.
Right, I heard like the Olympics one.
We're going to get to the Sex Olympics that are getting ready to go.
DeMarco, don't look like that. Don't make that look.
Hold on.
We're having a professional conversation about Sex Olympics. Do not give that facial.
Where's the belt buckle? Hold on. Okay, here we go.
We were all at the Agape Pickleball Center in Fountain Valley on Saturday morning. Unfortunately, the weather didn't cooperate. We didn't get to play. Got to hang out. Got to do Beto's tailgate for a while. That was a success.
Beto had it going on.
Beto knows how to tailgate. Yeah. One of the Ask-Lees
was... He's still out there.
Of all the 7'10 personalities...
He's still there. He's still 100% at the pickleball center.
Who was the most pleased that the plug was pulled without actually having to play pickleball?
Who was it?
Well, who do you think it was? Who is your answer?
My answer is me.
Okay.
I was very relieved. Did somebody say me?
Alan did.
I was very, very relieved.
Of course you were.
I wanted you and Big and everybody there. That's, but, you know, I wasn't like, I'm glad I didn't have to do the pickleball
part. Did you guys hear the hint he dropped to Morales? Like Morales is about to call it before Morales called it? You didn't hear that? Yeah, he did.
I did.
He put that out there.
Yeah. When you woke up in Venice on Saturday morning, looked out your window, was it raining?
Yes.
And your first thought was?
We're done for the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're done for the day, or I'm hoping we're done for the day.
We were looking at those like hour by hour forecasts. And Morales kept saying, no, it's going to clear by 9. No, it's going to clear by 9:30.
I don't know what Morales was looking at.
He said,
he wasn't telling the truth.
He said, we have radar that says it's going to be over at 11. It's like, where the hell is Morales getting radar? He turned into Dallas Rains all of a sudden.
Who do you think was?
We have radar.
We have radar.
That was his response. Yes.
DeMarco's in for Ireland today.
Yeah.
Who do you think was most pleased to
not? It was clearly Mason.
To not have to play pickleball.
Yeah. You guys know it's Steve. He basically told everyone he was happy.
Trav makes a very strong case for another individual.
Okay, who is it?
Me.
Oh, yeah?
You? Really?
I would have played. I would have played enthusiastically, but we were talking about this. One of my favorite things in the world is having something unexpectedly canceled. It's like, oh. We're freed up for the rest of the day.
You're a baseball guy.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Like, you know, get baseball off guy. When I was traveling in the minor leagues, everybody was always excited when there was a rain out.
Maybe that's what it goes back to. I was excited to play pickleball. I was excited to hang out. But if you just told me, like if we had dinner plans, hey, listen, I can't make it. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you guys do during rainouts?
The game might get resumed or we're just
might
done.
Get resumed. Might get resumed.
Play cards.
Yeah.
Kind of stay serious, but not.
Play cards, kind of relax, kind of keep your mind occupied as well.
Gambling.
But the second it's off, you go to the bar.
You know, here's who I feel bad for. You're asking who's the most relieved that it didn't happen. I feel bad for everybody here who did go out and practice a whole bunch.
Trudell.
And then it got
DeMarco
Trudell, DeMarco.
It's a bad
that was a Shadano.
I was on the opposite end.
That was a bad investment.
Men practiced a lot.
You put in some time, didn't you?
I was on the opposite end of this question.
Yeah.
I really wanted to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that kind of went out of me with the first practice game because we got smoked.
Oh, you got a practice game?
We got a practice game.
In the rain?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
I was sopping wet when I got
it
home.
Wasn't
I was
that,
soaked
I mean,
to the skin.
We could have played. It was a liability issue.
Puddles everywhere.
We could have played through it. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, Morales is like got a squeegee out there. It's like... Whoa.
But if somebody got hurt, we're all in trouble.
Course,
you could have played through that.
Hang on. The radar says 11:30. Let me get the squeegee out.
Every time I heard there's a window, the rain would intensify.
That was the other term. There's a window.
Every time I heard that, I looked just to my left. I'm like, it is pouring rain. What just window are we talking about?
Black clouds where the weather's coming in from.
Well, we've got a window.
Wow.
Yeah, window's broken and chipped glass.
By the way, everybody here who worked really hard on it. I feel bad.
Of course.
The social media team and the promotions team and everybody.
If there's a silver lining to a very gray day, it's that the people that were there had fun. I had fun.
The people who hung out till the end are like the P1s of all P1s. They are into it, man. I actually got a very nice, I got some birthday gifts.
You did?
From listeners.
You got, I saw the big birthday card.
I got a big birthday card.
We sang for you.
Sang for me.
Yeah.
One listener, his name was Chet, much to the chagrin of Pepe Mantilla, who will not say that name. He gave me a a bunch of flour, which was nice.
Oh, okay.
Abdul, who's Radio Michael fan on
I met Abdul.
Social. He's a great guy. Got me a chain so I can be two chains.
Nice.
Oh, very
nice.
Two chains.
Yeah. Two chains. I like
chains.
It.
Yep. That's the new thing.
You don't look a lot like 2 Chainz.
No.
You have 2 Chainz.
Got a very different look.
Look like
it.
2 Chainz.
No, I see it.
Very you see the
I see it.
Which parts? There. Where?
The chain part. The chain part.
The chain. Look the right around part. His neck.
Yeah, right.
Don't look
here.
Anywhere
that's
else.
It? Okay.
That's the chain part.
Are we ready for sex in the Olympics?
Sex Olympics?
Oh man.
So how many Olympics have you covered?
Seven.
Seven on different Olympics. Yes. Both winter and summer?
Winter and summer.
Is one hornier than the other?
Summer is by far the horniest.
Okay.
Yeah. Summer is the by far the horniest.
Look at can, the I just, face.
Can I just can I just repeat your guys' exchange right there? Is one of them hornier than the other?
I thought that was a good question.
Summer is by far the horniest.
Yes, yeah. Correct. It is.
Just because it's hot.
Great exchange.
The thing is, you put all these like finely tuned athletes together, and by the way, and I heard you say this earlier, some people have their event like on the first day or the second day.
2.5 weeks.
Then they're just looking for fun, right. Man. I mean, they're hanging out till the closing ceremonies. They got 17 days to get busy.
And the people that are actually contending for medals are minuscule.
Oh, yeah.
They're
yeah.
Most of the people there nothing. Are there just to wait, enjoy
I'm
each
there,
other's
I made
company.
It, I'm going to have fun. Wait, yeah. Who goes first usually in the Olympics? What sports go first? I'm trying to see what's out there.
Normally, swimming goes early.
Yep.
Track and field goes late.
Yep. Mm. Basketball so kind of goes the whole
basketball
time.
Basketball goes the whole time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think basketball, they're in a different league. They're like basketball, everyone I've been to, they've been on a separate island. They were on a ship at one point.
Yep. In Brazil,
so
right?
They're not mixing with everybody else. But I'm talking about the pole vaulters and the high jumpers and the sprinters. They're all
done and free.
Done, free, and having fun.
Oh, boy. That's
prime of your physical life. You're in an exotic location
right.
with people coming from all four corners
surrounded
of the earth.
Surrounded by beautiful people.
Surrounded by beautiful people that you're probably never going to see
that
again.
That you worship yep. and worship you.
Right. Oh, but yeah. My understanding, tell me if I'm wrong, Mace.
Yep.
It's mostly athletes with athletes, yes?
Yes, although...
But this is I get confused because your text has nothing to do with the athletes.
Correct. Broadcasters absolutely take part.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I would assume everybody does.
No, I medaled at the Sex Olympics.
You what?
You podiumed? You were on the podium.
Yeah, I was on the podium. Yeah.
You know what? Great. I did not know you were an Olympian.
By the way, Sydney, Australia.
Was that your...
Oh, my God.
Your Jesse Owens in Berlin?
I was in my physical prime
wow.
for
you were an
what
Olympian.
It's worth. And I had a blast.
Congratulations.
The great thing about Australia is they think you have an accent.
Oh, yeah.
So people will say to you, I love your accent. I'm like, it's just
me.
Regular
wow.
accent. I, normally it goes the
they
other
like
way.
I like it even more.
Yeah.
DeMarco, are you sad you never learned the shot put or something?
did you just read that? I'm like, dang, I was pretty good at the shot.
Well, I'm looking at
I
you.
I should have
like,
hung in there.
DeMarco,
wow.
maybe a discus, down. A shot put, the hammer. Maybe the thing
never
you spin
hammer,
around.
Oh, hammer yeah, disc, that one. And, yeah. and that was it. Yeah,
some
crazy.
Of these things I don't even know how they invented. Like, who invented the hammer and made that a thing?
I don't know. They put a cannonball on a chain and said, see how far you can throw it.
It's an odd javelin. That's another one.
What do you think? Winter would be the horniest time? It's cold outside.
It is cold.
It's a good question.
You know, you're inside.
Let's put up a poll.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Which Olympics is hornier?
Which Olympics should be hornier?
Yeah. Or is that just me? Yeah.
Although, I will tell you.
The cold weather gets you going?
Yeah, I don't know.
I will tell you, Salt Lake, also a lot of fun.
Oh.
Salt Lake.
So that was 2000 to 2002. I was single and I was in my prime.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Now I went home. I went to birthday on Saturday night dinner for my birthday, and they brought out a little cake, and it had the numbers 5-9 on them. And the waiter thought it'd be really funny if he made it 95. So I ended up with a little birthday cake that said I was 95 instead of 59. Like, yeah. Wise ass.
It's
going to affect your tip.
I was going to say, you do know who's paying for this meal,
exactly.
Don't you there?
Funny joke, huh, Roger?
Yeah, exactly.
85 my ass.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little stuck on DeMarco wanting to know why the winter games aren't more horny.
Just saying. You know,
I'm trying to think through. Because
you're
it's big dude,
you're
brother.
You're bundled up.
That's when I became popular.
But there's a lot of skin in the Summer Olympics.
Yes.
Right.
There's a lot of skin.
I'm more popular when it's cold outside. At least that's how college went. Oh, my God.
Parked up?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm just the heater, I guess, you know?
Right,
yeah. So, but summertime, that's the tall, skinny athlete.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
We'll keep you posted on the poll.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
We'll figure out.
Which Olympics is horniest?
Slee, I wrote down a third thing for Mace, and I can't read my own writing. Do you remember what it was? I had Olympic sex, pickleball, and something that starts with CL, and I can't read anything.
Clouds?
Clouds?
No, not Clinton Yates, not Clouds. Looks like Clemens.
Clowns.
No, it looks like Clemens, but we weren't talking about Roger Clemens today.
Betting, money,
on Roger Clemens.
I had a run-in with Roger Clemens.
Who hasn't?
Yeah. Did you have a run?
I have.
Really?
I mean, I've told the story, but I'll tell it again because Ireland's not here, so somebody's got to repeat stories. What?
Brian got it.
Oh,
Clearman's coming up on Thursday.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah. What's?
Tell us your Roger Clemens story first.
Why the look on your face? You're a legend out there.
Yeah, they're still talking about it. So I was doing the All-Star game for Westwood One. I guess it was CBS Radio at that point. And the play-by-play guy was Vin Scully. And he was working with Jeff Torborg. And I was the guy that did the interviews downstairs after guys came out of the game.
Okay.
So I was going along and I had to interview, you know, whoever, Randy Johnson or whoever came through. And everybody was very cool because it's an All-Star game and nobody really cares. So Roger Clemens comes in. And Rog threw a clean inning. Rog.
What's up, Rocket?
Rog threw a clean inning. And I said to him afterward, we had a little chat, and then after at the end of it, this was the year he was like 15-5 or what at the All-Star break. He was pitching in Toronto.
Okay.
And I said, so Roger, you're going to make your first trip back to Fenway Park for your first start in the second half. How do you feel about that? He said, why would you bring up that? Why would you bring that question up? Why would you ask that?
This is live.
Live. And you could hear it, the door slam. And I said, I had to throw it back to Vin Scully. I said, well, Vin, I guess Roger didn't like the question. He said, well, Steve, I thought it was a magnificent question, and it had to be asked. And I was like, oh, I got the seal of approval from Vin, but
Ben Torborg's like, why are you bringing that stuff
in here?
By
the way, everybody always thinks Vin Scully was a solo act. Vin Scully was a solo act, but he could work seamlessly with anybody.
We did the game of the week with Joe Garagiola for a million years.
Oh yeah.
No, he was. If Clemens is mad at you but Vin isn't, you win.
You're good.
Yeah. You win.
Did he say it in a really loud voice? Why did you bring that up, Brian?
Because
Roger Clemens does that thing that when he doesn't like it, he just talks louder.
Yeah, he was such a red ass.
You get paid for that these days.
Yeah. And as for Clearman's Galley, well, yeah, there should be a plaque.
There should be something.
There should be a plaque. Can we get that worked out? The one guy, now what happened was Chris Morales, who's a very bad influence on everyone.
Goes without saying.
Chris is the radar guy for Saturday.
Yeah, he told us the window where it was not going to be raining.
Yeah.
So he said, why don't you drink a martini? I was before the show. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll drink a martini. Make it dirty, olive, up. And then he said, you know, why don't you have one more? I'm like, okay. I'll have one more.
Had you never had martinis?
Oh,
at this
no,
point?
I love martinis.
But then why are you doubling down on a martini at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
How about tripling down? I actually went to the third martini. And this was not.
Is pre show?
During
show. Oh,
well, definitely show. Pre. Definitely
one pre and then during. Okay.
Probably two pre.
And so I remember at one point, Bergman was there for this, where Ireland is talking to me and we're doing the show like normal. And I'm so incoherent that John turns to Greg and asks him a question. And I said to Ireland, hey, wait a minute. This is my show too.
Oh, no, man.
That's when we knew we were in trouble.
That's when you need like the old VOD, the big hook.
Yeah.
The best part is the time. It was probably like 1:15. Like they had probably been to the show for like 3 minutes.
We were having that trial that day.
That's right, the trial of the century.
What was the trial of the century? It was about...
John lying. But I don't think he lied. I think you lied. I think ultimately we found out.
It was Michael.
Well, no, maybe it was Michael.
What was the facts of that case?
It was that Sliwa said something to Michael in confidence. Michael told John, and then John
told everybody.
Yeah.
You know what that happens. You know what the takeaway is? Never trust anybody.
By the way, no, you can trust a lot of people. Never trust John. Because John is like the town crier. He will immediately take a small bell, he will ring it, and he will make the announcement to everyone.
Wow.
Aaron Donald's coming back, right?
No.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Come on,
some good news.
No.
No?
No?
No.
Never?
Wow, got to get used to life without
no
AD.
Hesitation
I'm still
there.
Not over it.
No
I'm with
hesitation.
You.
I'm not
that's the one thing that bummed me out heading to the pickleball tournament. two big billboards saying bye to Aaron.
I know. They can take him down.
No, you should keep them up.
No, but it just reminds me of what was. I want to give the man his flowers because he deserves them to be sure. But I'm hoping season starts, he gets that little itch, knows he's still really good.
I heard he's been hanging around SC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Hendo's there, his coach, Eric Henderson.
Right. Eric Henderson, sure.
You, look, football's in his blood. He's going to be itching to do something. It would be smart to keep him right there.
You know what I would do with Aaron Donald? If I was Aaron Donald, I'd get an agent and I'd become an action star.
He should be a wrestler.
I think he'd be a wrestler would be good. An action star would be good. It used to be NFL guys would become action stars. Like Jim Brown, Fred Williamson did that. Yeah.
Merlin Olsen.
Yeah. Bubba Smith.
Yeah. Fred Dreyer. I think Aaron Donald is made for that.
What does Aaron Donald weigh a year from now? Exactly what he weighs now?
Probably.
Then he's coming back.
Yeah.
That's what I keep telling myself. Like, if he ballooned up, I'm like, okay, he's done.
Or if he stays super fit, like 30 pounds.
Yeah, how about Rams? Lost the muscle. Rams come out of the box 9-2. They're going to make a run. Can't they do like an Eric Weddle thing and say,
ask
hey,
him to come
AD,
back?
Come on back for the run.
I thought we'd see Witt come back. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I choose not to believe that. Super Crosstalk's brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out. That's what a hamburger is.
Oh, there's the Hunter theme playing right there.
Works for him.
Yeah.